Please turn again in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 16. Tonight I want to draw your attention to the judgment of Korah and his company. And I want to base my remarks on Numbers chapter 16, verses 31 to 35. Look what it says in Numbers chapter 16, verse 31. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, that is, the pit of hell. And the earth clothed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Amen. We'll end our reading there. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts again. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to deal with this subject tonight. And child of God, you pray that the Lord will speak to those in the meeting who are unsaved. My friend, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, then I would exhort you to listen very carefully to God's word tonight. God has a message for you from this passage of Scripture. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the word of God and apply it upon your heart. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and we do praise thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He died upon the cross and shed his precious blood in order to provide eternal salvation for the whosoever will. And O God, we thank thee tonight for the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet, Lord, we're so conscious that when men reject the love of God, then they do perish. And we pray tonight, Lord, that no one here will perish. But, O God, that all will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, this evening that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit, and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. O God, how we thank thee and how we praise thee that we have the word of God. We pray, Lord, that as thy word goes forth this night, that you would be pleased to speak to hearts. O God, we know that you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we thank thee for this day of grace that we're in. And we pray, Lord, tonight that there might be those who will avail themselves of the opportunity not only of hearing the gospel, but of receiving Christ as their Savior. For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. O God, even as we come to deal with this sad passage of Scripture in the life and times of Moses tonight, we pray, O God, that we might know the leading and the guiding of the Lord. Help us, Lord, only to glorify thee in all that we say. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In Numbers chapter 16, we have the judgment of God falling upon Korah and his company. It is a familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of us who are here tonight. The reason why God's judgment fell upon this man and his supporters was because he challenged the leadership of Moses and Aaron. This was sedition on the part of Korah. It was rebellion on the part of Korah. This rebellion was not only against Moses, but more importantly, it was against God. Not only was Korah criticizing the wisdom and leadership of Moses, but he was criticizing the wisdom and the authority of the God of Israel, because it was the Lord that had put Moses and Aaron into the positions of leadership in the nation of Israel that they occupied. And we noticed that this morning concerning Moses. Therefore, when Korah spoke against Moses and headed up this sedition, what he was doing was fighting against the God of heaven. Korah was questioning God's law and God's precepts and God's statutes. And because of this, Korah and his company received God's judgment upon them. And what severe judgment they received, as we're going to find out just in a moment. Men and women, God will judge sin. We emphasized that this morning. And we have seen that throughout these studies in the life and times of Moses. The Bible tells us, let me remind you of the verse again if you need reminding, in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. The truth is that the sin of the ungodly, the sin of the Christ rejecter, will not go unpunished. And just as God's judgment fell upon Korah and his company, so God's judgment will fall upon every sinner who rejects God's authority and who rejects God's way of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now that's a simple truth. It's a solemn truth. But it is a truth that the Bible clearly declares from Genesis to Revelation. And because the Bible declares this truth, it is so important that we preach this truth today in this 21st century. Now we know that God is a God of love, and we know that God sent his Son to die upon the cross in order to save sinners, and that is our message, and that will ever be our message, God giving us the help. But we must never forget that those who reject God's love and those who turn away from God's salvation will receive the judgment of God upon them. And that is what this passage of Scripture in Numbers chapter 16 is teaching us again this evening. Now as we come to consider the judgment of Korah and his company, there's a number of things that I want to emphasize to you. And if you're not saved in the meeting, I want you particularly to listen very carefully, because God, I believe, has a message for your heart tonight. It's a very simple message, but I pray that it will be a powerful message, and that the Holy Spirit will take the message and apply it personally upon your heart and upon your soul. First of all, I want you to notice that the judgment of Korah and his company here in Numbers chapter 16, it was swift judgment. It came very suddenly upon them. Look what it says in verse 32, and underline the words in your Bible. It says, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up." What solemn words we have there in that text of Scripture. These men had no time to think. They had no time to change their mind. No time to repent of their sin. One minute they were standing on the earth, the next minute they were burning in hell. That's the reality of this situation here. One minute they were free from pain and in the position of authority, the next minute they were in the torments of a lost eternity in a position of no return. Why? Well, the answer to that question is simple, because their judgment came swiftly and it came suddenly. These men did not believe that God would cut them off in such a way. They thought that they had many years left to challenge Moses in the authority of God. But the Lord put a stop to that thinking. And in a swift second of time, the sword of God's judgment fell upon them. The Bible tells us here that the earth opened her mouth and Korah and his company went down alive into the pit. They went down alive into hell. They went down alive into the judgment of God. And this judgment that fell upon them swiftly. Men and women, you cannot play around with God's way of salvation. You cannot willfully resist the striving of God's Holy Spirit in your life. You cannot mock the gospel by rejecting it and get away with it. Do you realize, sinner, that when God's judgment comes, it will come swiftly for you? One minute, you will be upon this earth in your full health and strength. The next minute, you will be cut down and lost forever. One minute, you might be shaking your fist at God and laughing at the cross work of Christ. The next minute, your heart will stop and your soul will be lost in hell forever. It is important for you to see here in this passage of Scripture, if you have never seen it before, and I know it's a familiar passage of Scripture to God's people, but if you're not saved tonight, it may not be a familiar passage of Scripture to you, but I want you to see this because it's very important. When God's judgment falls, it will fall swiftly upon the sinner. You see, the swiftness of the judgment that came upon Korah and his company, the Bible tells us that God's judgment will come as swiftly upon the Christ rejecter. It will come at a time when he is least thinking. It will come at a time when he is not expecting it. That's what the Bible teaches time and time and time again. Proverbs 29 verse 1. Let me read the words to you. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Suddenly be destroyed. Isaiah 47 verse 11. Mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3. Listen to these words. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Well, my friend, I wonder, have you ever considered losing your soul? Have you ever considered dying and going out into a lost eternity? There's nothing sadder than to see a man, a woman, after hearing the gospel all their life, being cut off from this scene of time and being plunged into a lost eternity. Listen to what Job 36 verse 18 says. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Many years ago, I remember having a gospel mission in the Birches, one of many. And I can remember putting up the tent on that occasion, and we just had the tent put up, and I got word that there was a man seriously ill in hospital, and I was asked to go and see him. He was a man who lived in that area. Now, all his life he had rejected the gospel. All his life he had said no to Jesus Christ as his Savior. And when I went to see him in the hospital, he was in the intensive care in Craigavon Hospital. And there was tubes coming out of him everywhere. He couldn't speak to me, but he was conscious and he could hear me. And I took the opportunity that day of opening up the Bible and explaining to that man how he could be saved. I told him that Jesus loved him and that Jesus died for him. And I told him that even in his circumstances now, if he called upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord would save him and the Lord would have mercy upon him. And I left him with the gospel. Just before the mission was over, and that was about 2 weeks later, I went back to see that man. And he had made a remarkable recovery. He was out of intensive care, and he was up in one of the wards. And when I went in to see him the second time, he was sitting in the chair, still very seriously ill, but all the tubes were removed. And it looked as if he was going to recover. And again, I took the opportunity of opening up the Bible and showing him God's plan of salvation. And I called him by his name and I asked him, well, have you asked the Lord to save you? The Lord has been gracious to you. He's brought you out of intensive care. He has spared your life again. And I never remember what that man said to me. He said this. He says, John, he knew me very well, and I knew him very well. He says, John, I don't want anything to do with your gospel. And I don't want anything to do with your Savior. And I left him. The mission was over the next day. And we took the tent down. And that man, just a few days after that, took a turn for the worst and he died. And after the tent was taken down, the very road the tent was on, that man's coffin was carried down past where the tent was. My friend, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the sad truth, and the solemn truth, as far as number 16 is concerned, is this, that if men fight against God and resist the strivings of the Holy Spirit in their life, God will come suddenly and he will come swiftly and usher them out into a lost eternity. What if God was to come and require your soul for judgment tonight? My friend, how would it be with your soul? Is it well with your soul? You have a soul that needs to be saved. You have a soul that someday will stand before God in judgment. If you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's why we exhort you to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Oh, the judgment of Korah and his company, it was swift. It was swift. But notice something else, and I want you to take a look at verse 33. You'll notice that the judgment of Korah and his company was final. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth clothed upon them, and they perished. Look what it says, the earth clothed upon them. And they perished. As far as Korah and his company were concerned, there was going to be no reprieve. There was going to be no second chance. The earth that had opened up clothed upon them, and they were never seen again. The last memory that Moses and the children of Israel had of Korah and his company was that of hearing them cry as they went down alive into hell. Look at verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. Underline it. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. By the judgment of these men was final. And there was nothing anyone could do about it. As far as Korah and his company were concerned, God's mercy for them had ended. God's grace and long suffering had ceased. And they were now lost forever and forever and forever. Believe it or not, you are in a good position tonight. Those of you who are not saved. Because you're in the land of the living. You're in the day of grace. And tonight, the gospel is preached to you. And the invitation of the gospel is extended to you. And thank God tonight, although you are a sinner deserving the judgment of God, you can be saved tonight. You can be redeemed tonight. You can leave God's house this evening on your way to heaven and on your way home. Oh, what a wonderful position you're in tonight. Because even now, as this meeting is continuing, you can bow your knee by faith at the foot of the cross, and you can call upon the Lord, and the Lord tonight, he will save you, and he will save you for all eternity. But you see the moment that God's judgment falls upon you, and you go down into hell, your judgment will be final. There's no second chance after you die. There's no such a thing as salvation after you leave this scene of time. I want you to keep your hands in Numbers chapter 16 for a moment. And I want you to turn over to the book of Job, chapter 30. And I want you to take a look there at Job chapter 30 and verse 23 and 24. And you'll read these words. Howbeit, he will not stretch out his hand to the grave. Look at verse 23 first of all. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. We're all going to die. Each and every one of us. But as far as the Christ rejecter is concerned, when death comes, look at verse 24. Howbeit, he will not, God will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. When the sinner dies and goes out into hell, it brings a cry of torment. It brings a cry of despair. But although the sinner will cry in a lost hell, there will be no mercy and no grace and no love shown towards that sinner. Because their day of grace will have ended. Their opportunity will be gone forever and forever. This is brought out also in Luke 16. Look at verse 26 of Luke 16 about the rich man who died and went to hell. It says, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, because of this great gulf that is fixed, once a sinner is lost, they're lost forever and forever and forever and forever. Oh, what a solemn thought. Proverbs 6 verse 15 says, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Psalm 36 verse 12 says, there are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Underline it. They shall not be able to rise. Therefore, there is no salvation after death for the unsaved. If a man or a woman dies without Christ, receiving the penalty for their sin at death, that judgment is irreversible. Irreversible. And that's why we need to pray tonight for poor Roman Catholics that are blinded in superstition and popery. Because they believe that when they die they go to purgatory and then they get a second chance. That their loved ones can pray them out of purgatory and pay them out of purgatory. And of course that's what the Catholic Church teaches. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Here we have the judgment of Korah and his company. And when God's judgment fell upon them, it was final. Men and women, hell is final. The judgment of God when it falls upon the sinner is final. Young man, young woman, older person in this meeting tonight, you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you not listen to this warning from God's Word this evening? Would you not realize that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God? And so it is. But notice something else here about this judgment. Notice thirdly that the judgment of Korah and his company was the judgment of the Lord. This was God's judgment. Look what it says there in verse 29. If these men, speaking about Korah and his company, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent us. You see, it's the Lord that's giving Moses the message for Korah and his company. Because it's the Lord that's going to carry out the judgment. Look at verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth opened her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertained unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand, underline it, that these men have provoked the Lord. Look at verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. It was God that caused the ground to open up. It was God that caused Korah and his company to go down alive into hell. It was God that caused the earth to close upon them again. The judgment that fell was the judgment of God. It wasn't the judgment of Moses. It wasn't the judgment of Aaron. It wasn't the judgment of the elders of Israel. It was God's judgment that fell. My friend, that verse I read at the beginning in Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says this, that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world. Well, that's a message that you don't hear in this 21st century. That's a message that you don't hear from pulpits in this day and age in which we live. And yet that is the message that God's word declares. But why did God judge Korah and his company? Because these men would not accept God's way. They refused to listen to the word of God and to walk in the path that God had set out. They would not obey the direction of the God of heaven. They would not accept Aaron's priesthood. They wanted to be priests themselves. My friend, when God's judgment falls upon you, it will fall upon you because you have rejected God's way of salvation. And of course, you and I tonight know that there's only one way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Lord Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way of redemption. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way whereby you and I can escape hell. And that's by trusting Christ alone as our own and personal Savior. Now again, that's not a popular message in this 21st century. My friend, that's the word of God. That's the clear teaching of the scriptures of truth. And if you and I are ever going to be saved, if we're ever going to escape this judgment that we read about in the word of God, then we must turn from our sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. You see, God's way is the way of the blood. It has always been the way of the blood. And it will always be the way of the blood. Because God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Turn over just for a moment to a familiar story in Genesis chapter 4, right at the beginning of the Bible. We have the story of Cain and Abel. And we know the story well, but let me remind you of it again. Look there at verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Here we have two young boys born into the same family, taught the same truth. I have no doubt that Adam and Eve, after they were converted, taught their children that God would only accept them on the grounds of the blood of the Lamb. They could not be saved outside the blood. And yet the truth is that one of these young boys rebelled against gospel truth. And instead of bringing the sacrifice of the blood, he decided that he would bring of the fruit of the grounds an offering unto God. The works of his hands. My friend, people are still trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to please God by their own good works and by their own church attendance and all the rest of it. But look what it says there in verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. He had not respect. Look what it says at the end of verse 4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. In other words, God accepted the blood of the Lamb. But he did not accept Cain's offering. Cain was punished. Cain ended up in a lost eternity. And he refused to come God's way. Oh, young man, young woman, older person, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, there's only one way to God. And that's through the blood of the Lamb. That's why John the Baptist said when he saw Christ come to his baptism, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." There's only one Saviour. There's only one sacrifice. And that Saviour died upon the cross in Calvary, and that sacrifice was made there for sin and for uncleanness. And if you want to escape the judgment of God, not the judgment of the church, not the judgment of the minister, but the judgment of God. If you want to escape the judgment of God, then you must come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you must be covered in the blood. You must have the mark of the blood upon you. You must trust in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I wonder, will you come tonight? Will you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Oh, only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. If you reject that love and that sacrifice and that Savior, then God's judgment will fall upon you. It will fall swiftly upon you. It will fall suddenly upon you. When it falls upon you, it will be final. And it will be the Lord that will carry out the judgment upon you. Turn over to the last book of the Bible. With this reference I'm finished. Revelation chapter 20. This is the day that Paul was speaking about in Revelation chapter 17. This day is still future. But John on the Isle of Patmos here, the Lord gives him a vision of the day of judgment. And this is what the day of judgment is going to be like. Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." My friend, you're going to stand before God. You'll not have your friends there with you on that day. Your parents will not be with you on that day. No one will be with you. You'll stand alone. You'll stand before God. And the books will be open. Look at it. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." There's going to be no escape from the day of judgment. You can run from God now. You can hide from the gospel now. You can put Christ out of your mind now, until you die. But listen, the day is coming when your whole life again will be brought before you, and you'll be judged on how you lived upon this earth. And more importantly, you'll be judged on what you did with Jesus Christ. Did you accept Him as your Savior, or did you reject Him? "And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, men and women, times may have changed, but God's word is always the same. It never changes. We may be living in a day when the majority in Ulster want nothing to do with the gospel. The tide is out. They don't want anything to do with the Bible and the Word of God. We can see that when we listen to the news day in and day out. But the day is coming when God will speak again, and He's speaking judgment. And that's why it is imperative for you and I to make our peace with God. Young man, young woman, older man, older woman, young child, have you made your peace with God? Oh, make your peace with God tonight. Come and cast your all upon Him, and He'll save you. And thank God, as you leave God's house tonight, you can rejoice in the fact of knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven. Would you come to Him now? Would you trust Him now? Would you believe on Him now? Would you surrender your all to Him now? Oh, I pray that you will. Let us all bow our heads in prayer.